Hey, this is Trent. I'm going to tell you about the decision tree. First thing to do is think about the emotions that you're having and be able to isolate if it is fitting in the anger bucket, the excitement bucket, the sadness bucket, or the worry bucket. As you can see on the sheet, if it's in the anger, excitement, or sadness bucket, you're going to go to the left-hand side of the sheet. If it's the worry bucket, you go to the right-hand side. The important thing to remember with all of these, whichever bucket it's in, is it a good time and place to practice? If it's not a good time and place to practice, then you're going to default to use your tools. Some of the tools that we encourage everyone to do are some that can be found on similar podcasts, such as the bubbles, the breathing exercise, the grounding exercise, mindfulness exercises, and then you also have your own individual tools that you've created with your therapist. On the left-hand side, if it is a good time and place to practice, you're going to have four different things that you could do to help kind of offload the chemical buildup that's occurred from feeling those chemicals or feeling those emotions. One thing you can do is something physical. Needs to be pretty strenuous. You could do something like as many push-ups or burpees, sit-ups, so something in a confined space, or go do something like run really fast, as hard as you can. The second thing you could do is do something creative. Anything from as simple as drawing or coloring to if you have some level of expertise, all the way up to painting, dancing, playing music, all those things count. The third thing you could do if you chose to is to do something we call internal expression, which is just journaling or typing. So pretty much getting out what's in your head onto some form, whether it's paper or typing. And then the last thing you can do is external expression. And that is saying it out loud. You could say it to a pet. You could say it to a human. You could just go shout it out in the woods. But doing one of those four things allows the buildup to be released, and you will experience a physiological change when you do those things. If you use the tools to kind of stop the onslaught of the chemical buildup, make sure you also go back when you have a good time and place to offload that buildup. Otherwise, it's still sitting there, kind of like water in a cup, and it's just going to continue to collect the next time something comes along. So if you've put it in the worry bucket, it's now on the right side of the sheet. And the important distinction here is that when we get worry, since we're all creatures and we are behavioral, we get a signal, usually from the amygdala, but sometimes the cortex. And all this is happening in either nanoseconds or 2 to 3 seconds. And it's sending a signal to the rest of the body that we've got a problem. You're wanting to be able to differentiate if it's a real problem, so you'll see emergency, or if it's noise, which we call anxiety. If it's an emergency, it will take care of itself. It could be something very subtle, like you're failing a class, which will require a plan, or it could be something immediate, as in the fire alarm's going off. Either way, you'll take care of it. That's what we're designed to do. If not, you'll get help and figure out what to do. What we're going to focus on is the right side, which is the noise. So you get two options. If you've decided that it's not a real emergency, but your body's feeling like it's a real emergency, you can use the tools that we developed over on the left-hand side of the sheet. And those tools will essentially do the same thing they do on the left side, which is kind of stop the onslaught of the chemical buildup. It could be cortisol, epinephrine. But you're trying to get that to stop. And that's good in the interim, but it's not a long-term solution when you're dealing with anxiety. Because we may do something very healthy, like go listen to music to not make us feel bad, but we may be responding to something that's not truly an emergency, so we're creating a bad habit even though it is healthy. If you really want to have an impact on your anxiety, then you need to deal with the act part on the right-hand side of the sheet. Essentially, what you do is you decide that you are feeling anxious, you decide that you want to feel anxious, you say that you want to feel this, you don't want to avoid it, which is paradoxical, which changes the circuitry in your brain, because most of the time when we're anxious, we want to run away from it. It's what feels natural. This time you're going to fight it. So the third step you'll see there is actually stepping towards the fear. You're stepping towards the thing that is scaring you. So for instance, you may feel like if you don't go clean the sheets or go clean a dish because something's told you that it's dirty, that something bad's going to happen. So instead of actually going to go clean the dish, you're actually going to not clean the dish. You're going to do the opposite. The fourth part is act as though it's going to work out, which is the faith component of this, is just believing in something that you can't necessarily see yet because you don't have the data to prove that it will be okay or won't be okay. So, but you're going to act as though it is going to be okay. And the fifth step is probably the most crucial of the steps. You want to think of your right and left shoulder. And on the right shoulder, you're going to have a scary image. A lot of times you'll see in commercials the angel and the devil. But it's important to do something very specific to you that's scary. And on the left side, you're going to do something that is calming or relaxing. A lot of people will pick their pet to be on their left shoulder. But the right shoulder is telling you all the bad things that could happen, might happen, that are possible, they are plausible, but in that moment, they're not. And the left shoulder is telling you that you don't have any data or facts to support what the right shoulder is saying. And that's why you're not going to go clean the dish, even though the right shoulder is telling you that it's dirty. And if you do that enough times, over time, the right shoulder will not be as loud. The right shoulder will turn into Charlie Brown's teacher, where you know it, you can hear the noise, but it's not necessarily anything that you can make out. It's not audible. The sixth step is the outcome picture. And the outcome picture isn't necessarily that your anxiety or your noise went away. It's just that you allowed yourself to feel vulnerable, to feel scared. You walked towards the thing that was scaring you. And by doing that, the next time it pops, you're not going to be as frightful. And hopefully you'll continue to walk towards that thing or fight that feeling. The last one, number seven, is something that we do for our younger clients. If you do any one through six, you automatically get a point because you're doing something you've never done before. And so the idea, if you think of a scoreboard, is, you know, anxiety has won every match. With the scoreboard, you're just trying to accumulate points. So at some point, you will continue. You will win. And that's something we do for our younger clients. This is something we talk about in session with great length and detail. Hopefully, this is just a precursor to things that you're going to be learning and seeing when you're in session with your therapist.